Well, greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you for wisdom, Lord, concerning the things to come, concerning what we should pray against, pray down, concerning things also that are written in your word that will come to pass. Concerning a timing for these things to come to pass and the prayers that you want from us to block these things before that time. We thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to start out by sharing with you a few words about North Korea and its relationship to the United States. This first revelation was given to Sandy Shaw on July the 6th, and Don and Merlene Laughlin had transcribed it for us so we could share it with you. Thank you so much. Well, this dream was doubled. We know Genesis 41 and 32 says, "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." And, you know, first thought about this dream is it looks ominous, but it's a possibility that the Lord has left a way out in the text of the dream itself, so that yes, the text will come to pass, but will it come to pass the way it appears? Okay. I know. I hope I didn't confuse you too much with that. Well, Sandy first named this revelation, "Time Has Run Out." It was interesting because in a recent revelation that was sent to us, a video, Jesus said to a man, "There is no more time." And that's been going around. That was interesting. And I do believe we're coming very close to the end here. And we've run out of time. Sandy said, in a brief dream, I'm up high enough to see the continents, especially North Korea. And then I saw to the right, Alaska, Canada, and the United States. All of a sudden, two missiles came out of North Korea. One was higher than the other. The one that hit California was lower. I did not see where it hit. Now, this is interesting because she saw everything else, but she didn't see this part. And that can mean something. My question is, could Sandy not seeing this missile hit mean that this hit doesn't have to come to pass? That it failed to reach the land? I don't know. The South Korean intelligence did not believe that the North Koreans can reach this far. They would shoot a lower arch when trying to reach as far as California. They do believe that they could reach Alaska. So that's kind of interesting. Whether they're right or not, we don't know. You know, I'm not putting this out as a proof, just as a point here. The higher missile was going towards Alaska, so that's a long arch, which is what they prefer with these missiles. But it also involves re-entry. So Sandy said the higher missile was going towards Alaska, but the United States intercepted it right over Alaska. This could mean even before re-entry, you know. So my question is, could this come to pass because it was seen? The other one wasn't seen. This one was seen. This would have a minimum of casualties, but restore the fear of the Lord to America, I feel. So if this is a sure thing, this revelation is has doubled, so it's a sure thing. But as you can see in the revelation, there are parts that we are not sure will come to pass the way we literally think they would. She said, "This happened very quickly in the dream, and I saw the plumes from each had blended together." The plumes? Well, one plume of a missile that was intercepted, and possibly the other that was intercepted too. The plumes went together. Could there blending plumes from so many miles apart, Alaska to California, right, indicate that the results will be the same? Neither will reach land. The South Korean intelligence says that they do not believe the North Koreans have ICBM reentry technology because they haven't seen them test for it, you know. This technology would allow the warhead to reach its target without burning up in the atmosphere. I'm going to put a link here to that when we post this article. The plumes could be the blowing up of the missiles and not necessarily the nuclear detonation, because, well, it just could be the plumes from the exploding of the missile itself, not necessarily the detonation. So, joining together could mean that both failed to reach land. That's just a thought. I'm not sure about it, but I'm putting it out there for brethren that may have a dream or a vision or a revelation concerning this. Sandy said, "I had a sinking feeling, but I did not like what I saw." Well, here's my thought, is that we should pray against the success of these missiles and the success of their technology to be able to re-enter with a live missile and also hit what they're looking at. They don't have the capacity of the larger nations to, with their testing, to go out and retrieve their missiles in the water and see what happened as far as what happened when it went through the atmosphere, what the temperature it was, all these things. They don't have that. So it's more of a trial and error process. And of course, the United States has taken down some of their missiles and had the capability of taking more of them down, but didn't do it. So Sandy said, "Then all of a sudden I'm in a Navy ship, and all of the young men were wearing Navy working uniforms. They were rushing to go to their posts, as of course they would if there was any missile coming towards us. All of them had beads of sweat along their foreheads." Yep, because a nuclear war isn't a fun thing, obviously. There's always a lot of lives lost. "Then I saw my son William." They had gone to do what they had to do. He's in the Navy, evidently. "But they were in fear, and then I woke up. I had this dream twice on the same day." And as we saw, doubled means the scenario depicted is coming. But how is it interpreted in the physical can make a big difference to humanity, right? "The first time was Thursday morning, the second time was Thursday afternoon, as we were driving to go see William. I received two passages at random by faith, 1 John 1 and 38a, and Jesus turned and beheld them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? Well, thinking on this verse, I think it represents the beginning of the man-child ministry as he received the disciples of John the Baptist. And the context is, I'll read 32 on down. John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Again on the morrow, John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? Well, you know, after this Jesus called the rest of the disciples and began to teach them to be fishers of men. Let me say this, there is a possibility that this war won't come until the second seal. Now, the first seal, of course, is the beginning of the man-child ministry. And, of course, the man-child ministry is just a body in which Jesus lives in to do the works that he did before. He said, Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. So, Revelation 6, 1 and 2 is the first seal, the white horse rider, which we know to be the man-child ministry starting and bringing judgment upon the earth. And the second seal, of course, is a world war. They've been threatening to do this ahead of time, I believe, start this world war ahead of the man-child ministry, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think the prayers of the saints are going to stop it, but could this revelation be about something that's coming hereafter? Yes, it could. I believe that right now we should pray this down. And then she also got Ezekiel 21 and 3. And say to the land of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of its sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of its sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. Well, the second seal is certainly going to be fulfilled in that way. And yes, there are a lot of Christians that would pass away because they really don't believe in Psalm 91, and they really don't believe in the Passover, which would deliver them from any curse that comes upon this earth. They don't believe in it. They don't believe in the power of God. So many of them would pass away in their ignorance, not necessarily miss heaven, but they would pass away in their ignorance. And in that way, the righteous and the wicked could be taken out. There is a group of people on this earth called the bride who is not going to be taken out, and that is because they believe in the Passover, and they believe in the power of God, and they are full of love, and there's no curse upon them. So, anyway, going on concerning this particular verse, Ezekiel 21 and 3, we receive this same warning, the morning of 7:14. Eve got Ezekiel 21, 1 through 7, which includes that verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards Jerusalem, drop thy word towards the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel. Let me say something about this. When you see prophecies in the Old Testament speaking about Israel, you can see the church there. judgments against the church. Israel was the Old Testament church. Israel, of course, Jacob, who was renamed Israel. Jesus was the father of the patriarchs, like Jacob. And he also has a body in the earth called the body of Christ. So there's a direct parallel here. You know, so when you see this, you can see that God could use it literally for Israel, but he could also use it spiritually for the church. The church is far from God. There is much anti-Christ in the church. And it's going to take chastening. They're not going to escape like the bride is. They've made war upon Judah, which is spiritually the full gospel. They've made war on the spirit of the word. They have denied the spirit of the word, etc., etc. So there is judgment coming against the church. And say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, and I will draw forth my sword out of its sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of its sheath against all flesh, from the north, from the south to the north. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath, and it shall not return any more. And, you know, as the tribulation starts, I think people are going to realize that the sword of the Lord is going to be in the earth from here to the end. And that's what this says. It, of course, is speaking about the time of the tribulation. The second seal could be this very judgment right here. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, and with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness shalt thou sigh before their eyes. And it shall be, when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? That thou shalt say, because of the tidings, for it cometh. And every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint. And all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, it shall be done, says the Lord. And, you know, obviously there is a major judgment coming, second seal. That's for sure. Before that, I'm still considering the fact that we can delay this judgment. So, I mean, from these verses, he may be telling you when this is going to happen. It's a surety, the second seal. Is going to take peace from the earth, you know. Now, here's one reason I can be thinking this. This is Amos Skaggs' revelation. We called it The Bomb Returned. Amos said, I closed my eyes and I saw a very large, huge bomb on its way to a destination. Get halfway and turned around and go back to its origin. I had one like that. If you remember, I was in the vision over the Gulf of Mexico looking at America stretched out as Nineveh with a great big bomb over the top. And the only thing holding it up there was a string with a bow on it, you know. And but we learned that it was a delay, you know. Anyway, he said the bomb was on a trajectory chart from point A to point B. It got halfway and turned around and went back to its origin. Okay. I seem to equate this to a 7-year period on the chart. Okay, and then he has a little chart here. USA, 7, and then to the middle of the 7 years, and then another dotted line to number 1 in the east. Okay, the east. Now, the East can have a couple of meanings, and the West can have a couple of meanings. Okay? Let me just say that what this is probably not. Okay? If the bomb left the East at the beginning of the trib, it would not turn around until the middle of the trib, according to this. And then it would go back to the beginning of the trib. Is God going to reverse time? Well, of course he can, but no, I don't think this is the answer. It may be that through prayer, God is going to change what he has warned that he would do. The bomb never went off, but returned to its origin. This could mean that he changed or delayed the judgment at this time, okay? Amos said, it's like things of the world were going too fast for God's schedule. Well, now, we discovered that too about the beast making war on the saints in the United States. But God removed Obama and Hitlery. And so those plans that they had to start now were delayed. And I believe they were delayed for 3.5 years into the tribulation. And let me start that again because I put my explanation in the middle of it. It's like things of the world were going too fast for God's schedule, and with prayer that we have seen God change things already. God has delayed the war for his people to have more time to prepare. I believe the war will be nuclear in part. I do too. I know that the second seal is going to be nuclear. And not only that, I know that it's going to bring about a revival among the people that it brings judgment upon. Okay. So my thoughts is a war that could have started now and last for three years, which is that's what Amos said he thought it was, 3 years, and last for 3 years, could have been delayed till the second seal begins. Okay. Revelation 6 and 3 says, and when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat thereon, it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. This would be after the man-child white horse rider begins the first seal of Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Okay. Again, that's my thought. We will see, you know, how it works out. Pray. There's other reasons I believe it could be this way. Amos said, strike a line on a global map through the center of the United States to the east, and you have China, North Korea, and Japan. And he said, North Korea stuck out in my mind. It seems as North Korea will be the front for the world war. It could be. The world war, I believe, will start at the second seal. Okay. And, of course, many are afraid that they will start the world war now. Okay. And I think that's what's being addressed here. Okay. Now, this is an older revelation from back in June 22nd of 2006. It was given to Cindy Pillow concerning North Korea. Now, I admit what she's describing here as a threat from North Korea could have been something from the past, somewhere between there and here. It could have been. It also could be for right now, at this time, just before the tribulation. Okay? So keep that in mind. I beheld the leader of North Korea standing on a platform. I do not understand this altogether, but it will be shown for what it is in its time. I saw that leader split right down the middle from head to toe. I've got my own take on that. I think Cindy's is good too, but my take is he's schizophrenic. He is a nut job. He is able to do anything the Lord will permit him to do. He doesn't care what's going to happen afterwards. You know, when you're just overblown with demons, you don't think that, oh gosh, if I send this missile, there isn't going to be a North Korea. Yeah. Cindy went on to say it was as if he was split in two parts, yet he stood still, or he still stood. I heard the Lord say concerning him, divided in opinion and decisions. Lack of unity will hinder North Korea. That's what he said. The Lord said, divided in opinion and decisions, lack of unity will hinder North Korea, unquote. And then the Lord added, quote, for Israel's sake I will do this, unquote. I want to tell you again that Israel here could be a type of the church. So, I realize Jesus alone is keeping them from doing what they want to do to our country. He has other plans for us. I suddenly saw a vision again. North Korean soldiers came at me in rapid succession, yelling loudly, words in their language. I felt intimidated, as we all have felt with the news of their weapons of mass destruction. So she's again applying it. And that day, many times, dreams don't come to pass in the day that we see these things with our eyes. They can come to pass later. We've seen that many times. So the Lord hides a thing, you know. And I heard the Lord say, empty threats. So the military is, making loud, empty threats. Was that for back then, or was it for now? You be the judge. The bomb that Amos had may be, saying that this is for now. I then saw North Korea's soldiers with battering rams hitting them over and over against a tall, wooden, fenced wall. They kept battering, but didn't seem to be making any progress at all. I wondered what the fence was protecting. And when I very quickly was taken high to where I could see the whole of the United States, all around the whole of the United States was a tall fence, like a wall. Remember, I saw that wall when I was over the Gulf of Mexico, too. It was an above-ground swimming pool wall all the way around the United States, and fish swimming on the inside. And the bomb, of course, was delayed at that particular time. As quickly as I was taken up, I was taken back down and was at the end of the wall so as to see both sides. I saw the soldiers on one side battering away, getting nowhere, and on the other side I saw what was keeping them from entering. Standing on the other side of the fence or wall was Jesus, with his right hand on it, holding them back. It's really not hard for Jesus to hold them back, is it? Shifting back to the subject of the United States, he said, I will not utterly destroy a nation that prays. I hear my people's prayers. Let me say this. the United States is not a nation that prays, but within the United States there is a nation that prays, a holy nation, God called it in Peter. So if you think he's talking about a United States, there's no way the United States is going to pray, but there is a nation within that does pray and does change things. That's why we're not seeing Hillary in office right now. Okay. I will not utterly destroy a nation that prays. I hear my people's prayers. I see their faith to believe. Yet in a little while, many will die, but not as assumed by a literal enemy. I want to tell you something. You know what causes wars? A spirit of faction causes wars. It can kill people. Faction kills people. When a person gets it, they're so antichrist, they're dead. Okay? And he said, yet in a little while many will die, but not as assumed by a literal enemy. So back in that time, that faction movement hadn't started yet, but it has started since then, and it is spiritually killing people. And so Cindy went on to say, I bring myself down to deal with America. Your forefathers cry out for vindication. I am in your midst. Stand back, my people, and see the salvation of your Lord. So the Lord said, yet in a little while, many will die, but not as assumed by a literal enemy. Okay, so now we're seeing not only the faction in the church, but a faction in among the nations, you know, a secular faction that is dividing nations, dividing the West, so to speak. And it's killing people. Look at the foolish governments who are allowing themselves to be invaded, which was a plan. It was a plan to invade the West. Obama was in on it. He wanted to conquer the West. He wanted to conquer the United States. And so far, a lot of the European nations that are still called the West are being conquered. So I would suggest you pray for those people that they would wake up and turn to Jesus. Amen. I am stunned at the visions and words spoken to me and admit I am a bit shaken. You could call it the fear of the Lord, I believe. I just know that it is important to get things in order in our personal lives and pray that the winds be in our favor. I have never felt such urgency to pray and to seek God's face. Time is running out. Yes, it was. And she gave a couple of verses here, Daniel 2:20-23. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. So praise God, that can be good, that can be bad, but recently it's been good. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth that it is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And she also gave 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Yep, it's the Lord that holds up the wall, right? Amen. Okay, now, so remember what I said about the physical war and the spiritual war. What is killing the Europeans, the Scandinavians? What's killing them? It's a spiritual enemy is killing them. They haven't got sense enough to know that you shouldn't let an antichrist murderous spirit come into their country. And it's destroying them. So, you know, it's just plain what the world would call stupidity, but the world has it, so they're not calling it that. But it's clear. And we call them the stupid spirits for a reason, because they make you just a numbskull. So, then John David Fagan sent this on July the 13th, and we called it, "The Spirit of Khan Seeks to Destroy the West." The Spirit of Khan, as in Genghis Khan. John said, I'm just sharing a very brief dream I had when I awoke this morning. I rarely ever have dreams, at least that I can remember. I don't know if it was from God or was whatever. I can say that I was not thinking about any of this stuff, though, before the dream came and I awoke. Well, I believe it clearly is from God, and it's meant to be taken spiritually, but it's clearly from God. And it's really telling us about this real enemy that's attempting to destroy the West, and it is faction. And it's just like Genghis Khan. This morning as I awoke, I was dreaming of a news report type scene where they were interviewing a guy known as Khan, K-H-A-N. His comment was that soon the unity of the Caucasians would be dismantled or broken. Oh, I would say it's happening. You know, you can see it, you know. And it's happening. Guess what? It's happening with very leftist, Satanist, factious people warring against the right. Okay, so the West is being divided. The Western nations are being divided. His comment was, soon the unity of the Caucasians would be dismantled or broken, or something along those lines. In other words, faction. The implication was that they eagerly awaited destroying the unity of the West. What is the most factious people on earth doing right now? And they're that way because they have the spirit of faction. They even kill each other more than any other nation kills them. And that is the Muslims. They're invading the West. They plan to kill people that do not submit to Islam. And they plan the same thing here. And they are dividing the West with that spirit of faction. The governments, like Obama's government, who brought them very, very close to them, don't realize how the spirit of faction moves in people. You sit there and you listen to their words, and those words enter into you and recreate in you their own spirit. This is how the spirit of faction goes. We've seen it in the religious realm, and now we've seen it in the political realm. They don't understand this. I don't think Trump knows what he's dealing with here. It's demons of faction. So, they could come and wage a war of genocide and annihilate them. Well, that's their plan. This is what the factious Muslims want to do. They want to annihilate. They want to genocide. Division here, that is talking about the West. Division is faction, which is moving in Western governments and the church. The unity of Western Europe is in shambles, with their demon-possessed leadership inviting an enemy culture in to destroy those nations. Those nations didn't want God. They got the opposite. You know what the opposite of God is? It's faction. You know who God is? God is love. Go read 1 Corinthians 13, what love is. And then realize that faction is the very opposite of that. It's self-willed, it's lying, it's deceitful, it's theft, it's murder, it's rape, it's all these things. The Lord said, with faction would come what? Every vile deed. So you see, you want to know what the bride is, folks? The bride is 1 Corinthians 13, love. The faction is the opposite. People are having a decision to make. Am I going to do this which is contrary to God's word? Am I going to listen to this which is contrary to God's word? Am I going to listen to these people that are contrary to God's word? Or am I going to listen to love? Am I going to walk in love? Am I going to be in the bride of Christ? God is love. His bride is love too. So their plan is genocide. And the faction in the religious realm is the same thing. It is genocide. When they speak into you that spirit, you are Antichrist. They have destroyed you walking with Christ. You're dead. So with the help of Muslim Obama, they would have done the same thing here in the United States, but God heard prayers. And they still await an opportunity to destroy the United States. You know, any kind of confusion that comes down the road, expect them to go forth and do things. By the way, there are people that say the C-130 that was just knocked down was shot down by the Muslims. You say, do they have those weapons? I guarantee you they have them here. They have to find the right time to use them. I believe Obama gave them to them. Anyway. The only other thing that comes to mind here is that the Caucasians may refer to those living in the Caucasus Mountains and the surrounding countries. This is a very literal interpretation here. That is in the general area of Ukraine and the Baltic states and the Stan countries. If so, it could easily be the Russians and NATO crossing swords. Also, Syria is not too far off, but it is desert. Lots of stuff can happen there. Okay. Well, as with all spiritual revelations, which I have shared to you up to this point, there are physical signs that point to it. Okay, just like God uses Israel to give us a revelation of the church. Okay. The con guy, John said, did not have what I would call Asian features. This to me is a dead giveaway. Because the con did have Asian features. But he also had a spirit, and that spirit can take over lots of people. Nor was he black. He was light brown and could easily have passed for a white guy with dark hair, as I remember, a mustache. I believe he's looking for someone physical here. And what we're not seeing, maybe, is that. Maybe it is not someone physical, but a combination of a bunch of peoples that are just like Genghis Khan, because they have his spirit. So my thought is, not having Asian features points to the spirit of Khan using other cultures to destroy the same peoples that Khan did. Genghis Khan was considered a genocidal ruler, known for large-scale massacres of civilian populations. He and the Khan clan, after him, conquered much of Asia and Europe in the West. So there are similarities here, strong similarities, except now I believe we're looking for something in the spirit. Okay, rather than in the flesh. And he was the founding father of the Mongol Empire. And what genocidal people is it that are doing the same thing but don't have the Asian features? Muslims, if you're talking about the political realm, and Christians who have received spirits of faction and slander and railing at others, and are vicious and are in the spirit realm massacring populations. Of course, the faction in the church. So John went on to say, guessing from the background, which has had plenty of greenery growing, not desert sand, I would think it was all situated in a place like Chechia. Again, I think we're talking about something more spiritual here, but they were not hopping around and celebrating like you often see jihadis in the Middle East do. They were ruthless and stoic, resolute in their hopes of genocide and annihilation. That is more like the church faction. My speculation on this is, if it is from God, is that they are about to break the peace in Europe. Well, in the letter, I believe we're seeing that happen now in the letter, you know. And in the chaos of war and societal collapse, the, quote, refugees, unquote, will go on a murderous rampage. You know, I've said that too. They're waiting for confusion to happen so that they can go forth under cover of darkness. These are backstabbers. That's what they are. That's what they like to do. They don't face people. They shoot them from behind. They stab them. They throw acid on them. They do, you know, things that we're seeing them do now. They murder. They rape. They do all these things. These are people who are totally antichrist, just like the faction in the spiritual realm is. They are totally antichrist. And specifically, target hated Westerners. Yes, that's exactly what they're doing in the political realm. The sense was that it was all planned and nothing about it was just happenstance or opportunistic. I agree 100%, and I've been saying this from the beginning, that this was planned, clearly planned. And the invasion that Obama was behind, they used as an excuse to move this whole population over into Europe and into the United States. These are traitors, friends. I got to tell you, they are satanic traitors. They're worse than just Muslims. They're full of Satan. You know, from the beginning, the invasion of refugees in Western countries has been an invasion of young men of military age to overthrow the West by jihad. And it has worked perfectly with the help of faction demons to dumb down the leftists and their leaders, who are all traitors to their own countries. Pray down this invasion and also the North Korean threat. This man would also be much like Khan, given the opportunity, right? This man, I believe, represents a people. Okay. And John said a few weeks ago, I also had a flash dream of asteroids. The bigger one missed and would have destroyed everything if it hit. But the other one, still huge, was reported to have hit. Let me say, I remember Virginia Boldia's revelation. And at that time and after that, we also had other people had same revelations. That was that several have seen three asteroids hit that Virginia Boldia called the beginning of pains to come on the world, in which giant earthquakes and volcanic activity will come from the asteroid hits and the movement of the crust and so on and so forth. Well, I believe that's what's going to begin things. Not Korea. I think that's what's going to be the beginning of pains, just like Virginia said, the Lord told her. Okay. So, John went on to say, I looked and there was a massive amount of black volcanic smoke, fire, and lava pouring out of a rift of a series of volcanoes that extended from my left, all in front, and around to my right. So very much seismic and volcanic activity happening. So he said, to the right, the smoke and debris, if it was also from the asteroid, was so thick that it piled up and began to make a mountain range. I just remember thinking how privileged I was to see how God creates and forms the earth. I also remember realizing that anybody in those areas was doomed, even in underground bunkers. Yep. So, wow. You know, the con spirit moving. It's by the way, it's moving in the spiritual realm, in the church, of these people who have criticism, unforgiveness. This demon comes over them when they don't forgive their brethren, or when they try to sneak into church with all their demons of sins that they want to hide, and the Lord separates them from the body. He does that because he wants the body to be saved. And the way he separates them is with faction. Faction means separation. It is separation. And so they are separated by their very Genghis Khan-like spirit. Right? Okay, I'm going to give a revelation to you that Eve Brass gave us on July the 12th, 2017. And it's about the same thing I'm just saying, talking about here. The lion destroys the faction is what we named it. And it's awesome. Okay. I dreamed that I was in the spirit above a mighty lion whose feet and long sharp claws looked like metallic bronze. He was the size of an elephant, and his mane was very full and thick. His breast and arms were very muscular. I was able to be in and out of his head during this dream, and could see and hear and experience everything from his perspective. We were in the old Roman Colosseum. Wow. Well, what does that tell you? You know, beasts warring against Christians, right? And that's what's going on. This faction is a bunch of beasts, beast nature people, warring against Christianity. And it is an antichrist spirit that they have received and they don't know. And of course, they only listen to that spirit. They don't listen to the spirit of Christ. They don't listen to the word. They can't receive anything from the word. When I merged with him inside his head, I looked down and saw an evil spirit that looked like a skeleton. It is death. When a person has this, they have death to anything that is Christ-like or the Spirit of God. It looked like a skeleton covered with gray, rotting skin, wearing gray, tattered-looking clothing. Gray represents death, right? He had a large, black, metallic sword in his left hand. So this spirit, this evil spirit that looked like a skeleton, had a sword in his left hand. And of course, he's like any spirit of death, capable of separating people through death. And that's what he does with faction people. I knew in the dream that he was a demon of faction, and he had been persecuting God's elect saints, who had been thrown into the ring with him. It's a test, isn't it? It's a test as to what you're, whether you're going to conquer them or they're going to conquer you. This test can come through a person who has a spirit of faction, or it can come from the spirit of faction itself, speaking into your mind things that you that are illegal for you. So you're being tested to see if you will obey the Lord, which is the only proof you have that you love the Lord. Obviously, the bride is going to win this and has won this battle because they love the Lord and keep His commandments. The test, of course, is they want you to break the commandments, to listen to them, to give in to evil feelings against your brethren. That's the test. It's the love test, I've been calling it. Well, now we're getting to see exactly how it works in the physical realm, because it's in the political realm, okay? But it's been going on in the church. And that sword is to separate you from God, godliness, the people of God, these things. That's what this demon has a sword for. If a person has sin and they're polluting the church, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. God sends this spirit to separate them. Okay, so repent. He was a demon of faction, and he had been persecuting God's elect saints who had been thrown into the ring with him. The lion had come to defend his elect from this evil spirit. Oh, we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And I felt his anger as he let out a roar that penetrated and shook everything around him. I felt the strength of his wrath as he raised his huge right paw and extended his metallic claws. He made a quick sweep and snatched the black sword away from the evil spirit as it tried to flee from him. And then I woke up. Ooh, that's a good deal. Lord, we've been waiting for the total end of this faction thing. It's ended in some people because they've overcome and they're not going to give in to those demons. But for others, they're still being tested, you know. So he said, I asked Father for a word for this evil spirit and received Ezekiel 32 and 27. My finger was on, laid their swords. So here it is in context, Ezekiel 32 and 27. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, that are gone down to Sheol. So, yes, a person who has faction are uncircumcised because they're sowing flesh. You see what I'm talking about? They have the mind of a beast. They're gone down to Sheol with their weapons of war and have laid their swords under their heads. And their iniquities are upon their bones. And they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. So in a spiritual way and in a physical way, if they don't repent, the faction are like this. They're an evil spirit. Then I asked him for a word for the lion and received Isaiah 64 and 2. And my finger was on, make thy name known. And here it is in context, for real. First I want to say that God speaks over and over about bringing judgment against the wicked to make his name known among the lost. All through the scripture, he gives this revelation. So pay attention to it here. Isaiah 64 and 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. That's what we're expecting. That thou wouldest come down. That's what we're expecting. He's coming as the man-child who is caught up to the throne, returned to do the work. That the mountains might quake at thy presence. That's what we're expecting too, the earthquakes. as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are going to be converted when he does this, especially those who were in ignorance when they were taken captive by these demons and lying people and slanderous people. But the leaders, many of them will not be saved. We just know the Lord told us that. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. Now, let me ask you this. I know that this is true about the church, about the Lord's coming to save the church, etc., etc. Will he save the nations from this spirit, this demon spirit of faction? Right? Is he also, on the political side, going to do a wonder as far as delivering these poor nations who have been raped, pillaged, lied to, people showing that, of course, these people are showing their thankfulness, that they were given a place of refuge. So they go and murder the people that are there. These are antichrist spirits, evil spirits, faction spirits. They have a hatred for people. They act in some cases as though they have love, but when they get the opportunity, they show you that there's no such thing there. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. There it is again. For from of old men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. So God will prove his name, meaning who is the true God, when he smites these people. And by the way, I do believe that he is going to use Israel to smite Iran. And it's because Iran is a faction. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But they are a faction. They are of the same bloodline as Israel. And they factioned against their brother. But God is going to, through them, smite Iran, which is in the natural a type and a shadow for when he smites the faction against the bride and the man-child. Because here's the next verse. For the overall dream I received, Ezekiel 32 and 24. There is Elam. Well, Elam is Persian Iran. They are Shemites, who are factious against their brother Shemites, Israel. There you go. And all of her multitude are round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword. Yep, all of the Shemites, all of the Elamites as a type of the factious have fallen by the sword. They lost their battle with the devil and with the flesh. And that's why they're doing this. They're used of the devil now to do his bidding, to try to destroy the righteous. What about the factious in Jesus' day? Same thing. They lost their battle with the devil. They quoted the Old Testament, but they didn't touch it with their little finger. Instead, they wanted to destroy the righteous. So they destroyed every leader that God sent. They destroyed the prophets. They destroyed Jesus. All proclaiming to be God's people and the heads of his body on earth. Who are gone down uncircumcised, yes they are, into the nether parts of the earth. who caused their terror in the land of the living, and have borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. Yep, they're in the pit. They dug a pit for the righteous and fell into it themselves, as the Bible says. And it was interesting because the next morning Eve received these verses for our morning prayer meeting. We all asked for a word from the Lord, and she got these. And very interestingly, they sound exactly like the dream she just had. You know, John 15:13 is what she got, and here it is in context, starting in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Here we are, back to that love, right? Even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life, that is his psuche, his old soulish life, for his friends. Factious people are traitors, because they're not laying down their soul, their life. They're defending their old life, and therefore the demon has taken them over. They've lost their battle with the real enemy. They're members of Sheol, not members of heaven. Like Jesus told the Pharisees, you're from beneath, I am from above. They were antichrist, tools of the devil. And as tools of the devil, them and their forefathers destroyed the real leaders of Christianity, the prophets and the wise men that the Lord sent. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. And the faction don't know anything, because that spirit is in them, and it's a stupid spirit. It makes them very ignorant of anything from God. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. That means abide all tribulations and tests, right? That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. Of course, as the bride will do. If the world hateth you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. Well, who was it that hated Jesus? You can't say it was the politicians. I mean, it was his own people and their false leadership, their very jealous false leadership. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Now, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look around and see who's getting persecuted. And then look at who's persecuting. Yes, it should be obvious. I mean, history repeats, you know. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Notice that goes all the way down to us. If we speak the word of God, they should humble themselves to it. But they can't. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. That means they're going to put you on the cross so that the name of the Lord, which is his nature, character, and authority, will be manifested in you. Because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Well, it's true. I mean, the factious of all heard the word. So now they're guilty for doing the very thing that they knew was evil and wrong. They had not had sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And whatsoever you've done to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. That means anybody who is of God, who has been born of God, if you hate them, you hate the Lord and you hate the Father too. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, which the man-child has been doing, I feel, although nothing like what's about to happen when they're anointed the head of New Testament spiritual Israel, right? They had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And the faction have ignored the good works of the man-child David, just as their forefathers did ignore the works of Jesus. What in the world could they crucify Jesus for? Healing the sick? Raising the dead? Casting out demons? Feeding the hungry? What did they have that they could crucify him for? But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause, just as it is today. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, because he will send the Comforter to his faithful people, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. So Father will baptize his with the Holy Spirit and power. But the Pharisees would just be Pharisees. And you also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Amen. Well, when I saw this, I remembered a dream that was very impressive from many years ago, where the lion rejected the Pharisee leadership and set their captives free. And we called that revelation. That was back in December of 2005. We called it Starving Under the Modern Pharisees. And Jerry Mooneyham received this and sent it to us. Jerry Mooneyham. Jerry said, as I meditated on the things of the Lord this morning, the Lord gave me an open vision. I was suddenly standing and looking at what appeared to be an altar. And upon the altar was a lamb slain. Blood covered this beautiful, ornate, golden altar. I was struck with the look of the lamb and how innocent it looked, almost as if it were sleeping. Yet the wounds were apparent, and blood was everywhere. Much to my surprise, a metamorphosis began to take place. The dead lamb began to change. At first, it seemed as though there was a blurring of my eyesight. And then the lamb began to take on the shape of a baby lion cub. Well, we know he left as a lamb, but he's coming as a lion, right? As I stood there in amazement, it began a rapid change from cub to adolescence, and from adolescence to young adult, and from young adult to a fully mature male lion. Beautiful. Oh, male lion. Oh, my goodness. The modernists wouldn't like that, would they? They're trying to erase all those lions, right? Male lion. Beautiful, beyond my limited ability to describe him. The opportunity for grace to God's enemies is come to a close. God is turning from mercy to judgment. He is judging that spirit of faction, and this lion here is doing the same thing. As I watched, he sat upon the beautiful altar. My eyes once again gave the sensation of blurring, and a very large, beautiful, ornate crown appeared upon his head. It was as if it were made for him. Well, now this is in the future. We know our king has been crowned king, but he also has a body in the earth that he's going to crown king, King David, right? Yes. And judgment will begin when that happens, just like the white horse rider, which is the first seal of the tribulation. Then a very large purple robe with gold trim and markings appeared upon his shoulders. It flowed to the floor over the altar and down his back. Then, as if on cue, he roared a deafening roar. All of heaven and earth must have shook, for my very insides shook with the intensity of it, and I fell to my face in fear and awe. The note I put back in 2005 is, the fear of the Lord will soon be restored. Notice his roar represents the shaking of heaven and earth. Isaiah 5 and 26 says, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss for them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs shall be accounted as flint, and their wheels as a whirlwind. This kind of reminds you of Joel chapter 2, where the northern army was coming and took out, by the way, Israel, because of their great apostasy, and took out Judah, but failed to take out Jerusalem, which was the bride, because they were holy. They failed. They were smitten when that happened by the Lord. And then, of course, the Lord left behind a great revival. Joel chapter 2. And back to this text, verse 29 says, their roaring shall be like a lioness. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and carry it away safe, and there shall be none to deliver. Now we're seeing that an enemy, the enemy here, is roaring like a lion. We know that the Lord is a lion, and he also has a devil that works underneath him that's also called a roaring lion. But he, like in the book of Job, can only do what he has permission to do. And so now physical enemies working underneath that devil are also called lions, young lions. And they shall roar against them, that is God's apostate people, in that day like the roaring of a sea. And if one look to the land, behold darkness and distress, and the light is darkened in the clouds thereof. Notice, the Lord uses the wicked to fulfill his roar. The devil is the serpent, and the hiss of the Lord's judgment to draw the nations against his rebellious people. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be watchful, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, he's doing it with the factious folks. It's a roaring lion. They're seeking whom they may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith. Amen. So do it. Then I felt someone behind me, but I feared to look up for the awe of that mighty roar. Yet somehow I knew I must look. And as I turned my head ever so slightly and looked behind me, there were untold millions of people from every walk of life, every color and description, young and old. Then once again there was a mighty roar, and the people began to come to the front of those who already stood there. To my amazement, they were dressed, that's the people that already stood there, they were dressed as the priests of old and as the Pharisees, the people who were standing in the front. The people from the back were starting to come to the front when the roar came, but the ones that were standing in the front were like priests and Pharisees of old. They were handsome, well-dressed men of apparent stature. But as they approached this mighty animal, he looked down at them and began a low growling. Uh-oh. He knew they were not his friends. He knew they were the enemy, these Pharisees and priests of old, which are now a revelation for us in our day. There is a whole leadership of apostate Christianity out there that have rebelled against his word and followed their own religion instead. They are the enemy. They have kept God's people from coming into the image of Jesus Christ. They are the enemy. But as they approached this mighty animal, he looked down at them and began a low growling. It was deep and threatening, and seemed to come from deep within this awesome specter. Yet the people continued to approach him as if it were their right and privilege, that is, these Pharisees and Sadducees and priests of old, right? Suddenly, the mighty lion roared again. Everyone fell to the ground, and his mighty right paw swiped the air right in front of those who approached him, and they fell to the ground and crawled back to some invisible line and once again stood up, looking at the mighty animal as if shocked and disturbed. Well, of course, they thought he was for them, you know. They spoke to each other, seemingly to get angrier by the moment. You know, they're obviously who they are. I mean, they've been the cream of the crop, so to speak. You know, these are the people that made all the money, ruled everybody else, and proclaimed themselves messengers of God, which is a pack of lies. Some even shook their fists at this mighty lion, which seemed so foolish to me, for if he had leapt down, none of all of those present could have withstood his attack. Well, the Pharisees of our day believe that they have the favor of Christ, but he will soon prove differently. They are so self-righteous that they will take no correction from the Lord, from his word, or from his servants, just like the Pharisees of old. Anyone who does not feed their ego, their idolatry with their sectarian religious spirits, they're going to fight with them. They killed the prophets. They killed Jesus. They killed his disciples. That's the same people we have with us today. Micah 3 and 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. And whoso putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. In other words, people that don't feed their ego, they make war against them, like they did Jesus. He brought to bring correction, they wouldn't receive it. And he knew they wouldn't. Therefore it shall be night unto you. In other words, they're so totally in darkness, they don't even see their desperate situation, that you have no vision, and it shall be dark unto you. Verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord, and say, Is not the Lord in the midst of us? The answer is no. No evil shall come upon us. And the answer is, yes, it will. As I continued to lay there pondering this mystery and wondering what I had seen, fear still gripped my heart, and I could not understand what I was seeing up to this point. I did not understand what I was to do. Then the mighty lion began to roar again. This time there were three roars, each one exceeding the other in volume. And then, complete quiet. A sudden peace flooded over me. The stress of what I had felt melted away, and I somehow knew I could stand up. You know, the Lord will shake heaven and earth, and His true people will come. As I stood there, suddenly I began to move by some unseen force through the hundreds of people who had crowded before me, and through the ranks of the priests and the Pharisees. And as I looked to my left and right, others too were moved to the forefront, men and women and children. Hosea 11 and 10 says, They shall walk after the Lord, who will roar like a lion. For he will roar, and the children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling as a bird out of Egypt. Well, there's that Red Sea again, and the destruction of the enemies who have kept them captive. And as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will make them to dwell in their houses, saith the Lord. Remember that the roaring is the shaking of heaven and earth, right? So Haggai 2 and 6, let's read this. By the way, we just recently received this text, all the way to the end of Haggai. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the seas and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Well, literally, this is the desire of all nations shall come. Literally. Meaning that those that God desires will come out of the nations through the shaking and being filled with His glory, and come into His house. This makes Jesus in His body the desire of all nations. You see that? These people represent the gold and the silver vessels that were taken captive to Babylonish religion being restored to the new spiritual temple. I hope you see that, because he mentioned at the end of it, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And then Ezra 6 and 5 says, and also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem. Every one to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Jerry said, this seemed to make the priests and the Pharisees much angrier, and they began shouting at us, telling us to stand still and not to move or go any further. Some took hold of the arms of those who now stood before them in an attempt to hold them back. Well, that just reminded me of Matthew 23 and 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men, for you enter not in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to enter. So the modern day Pharisees will begin to lose the elect among them, and will eventually raise up a persecution against them. That's just history. That's the way it worked. And that's the way it worked in Jesus' day. And in ours, that's the way it'll work. Jerry said, then the mighty lion looked down at each person who had moved to the front. And as he did, they moved forward to stand before him on an individual basis. Philippians 2 and 12 says, so then, my brethren, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And also Galatians 6 and 3 through 5 says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. For each man shall bear his own burden. Again my eyes blurred for but the briefest moment, and then a crown began to appear upon the heads of each man, woman, and child. They were overcomers. They were rulers over their flesh, over the devil, and over the world. Some had larger crowns than others, and some of the children's crowns were the largest, yet seemed to be born with no problem. Upon receiving their crowns, they walked yet closer to the lion. He lifted up his robe, and they went into it, disappearing from sight. In other words, they had been under the authority of the Pharisaical rulers, as they are today, but they're going to be set free to abide in Christ, who is the lion, right? And notice that the crowns are for those who come out from among them, which is the true meaning for the word church, the called out ones. I too stood before him and went through the process, feeling a peace that I have no words for. I was motioned to turn around and to look at the sea of faces and those of the multitude of angry priests and Pharisees. Then once again, as before, there were three more roars, each growing in strength and intensity. At the moment the third ended, I watched as a multitude of people came forward. These people who had been captive by their fake religious leaders. They looked as though they had never eaten. They were emaciated, as though they had come from the prison camps of the Nazis. Well, yeah, this makes a lot of sense because they're not feeding the sheep, Ezekiel 34. They don't share the truth. They've taken God down on a physical level. They have made all things spiritual natural, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's all natural things. They describe these, you know, in their own terms. Their idols have blinded them. The priests and Pharisees became even more angry, if that were possible, and began fighting with the emaciated ones, holding on to them and trying to restrain them. Yet, as weak as they seemed, the emaciated found the strength, broke free, and walked to the mighty lion, disappearing under his beautiful robe. Then he looked down at me, somehow summoning me without words. And as I entered his robes, there was a blinding flash of light, and I found myself once again within the natural realm. Well, as in the Gospels and Acts, the elect will come out of the Pharisees' prison camps where they are spiritually starving to death when they see the true food being offered. The shakings of the lion will cause many to rule and will cause many to run for the shelter of the true temple, which is Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 34 and 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord, woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought back that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Well, I knew a shepherd like this. And he had gotten faction and divided the sheep. The Lord told me to tell him, and I made him confirm it, that because you divided my children, I'm going to divide your children. And of course, this guy in his past had fallen into adultery, and so had his wife. And now his son and their daughter who he had brought into the faction, also fell into adultery. And so he was guilty. The Lord judged him for dividing his flock, and he divided his flock. And he says, I will require my sheep at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. Oh my. And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth. That's exactly what we see in this dream. I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, that they may not be food unto them, not feed their ego. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And hence you see them coming out from behind the Pharisees and Sadducees, going to the lion and entering into the lion. And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. And the tree of the field, a little further down, shall yield its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. That is, the religious leaders. And they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them, but they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. How can they dwell securely in the tribulation? Why were they not secure to begin with? Because they had rejected the gospel, the full gospel, which also covers your body, your life, your physical things. They had rejected that. The Pharisees said, it's all passed away. You can't believe in that anymore. This is the thing that's going to save them in the days to come. Amen. They've torn half of the New Testament out of their book. No, I would say it's more larger than that. You know, in our morning meeting, Brandy received this verse, a text, 2 John 1 and 6. And this is love, that we should walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, even as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For, listen now, for many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. Many deceivers have gone forth, meaning out of our midst, into the world. Well, they don't believe that Jesus is coming in them. They say you're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. Is there any sin in God? No. Is there any sin in Jesus? No. They don't confess that the Jesus of the Bible, the one who believes in the full gospel, the one who believes in saving and feeding and blessing his people. Well, they know nothing about faith. They don't even know what the word faith means. They're antichrist. They have deceived the people. They are deceivers. They deny that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. They say you're just forgiven. You can't be saved from sin. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Okay, now folks, I'm telling you, there's a lot of you that are walking in antichrist churches where they do not believe the full gospel. They do not believe Psalm 91. Which is going to save multitudes from the beast. They do not believe it. They do not teach it. They teach against it. They're antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought. Don't lose what was given to you in the beginning. These liars will steal it from you, and it'll cost you your life. but that you receive a full reward for what? For the things that were given to you from the beginning. Verse 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, that is the original teaching that you see in the Bible, they have to tear whole chapters out of their thinking. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He just told you they're Antichrist. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. The faction is Antichrist. The Pharisees are Antichrist. The denominations that deny the full gospel are Antichrist. And even if you do receive the full gospel and proclaim it, but live like an Antichrist, you're Antichrist. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. You know, we've taught people, do not give a greeting to a factious person. They are Antichrist. They have a demon in them. And if you do give them a greeting, you're going to be a partaker in their evil works. The Lord is going to open you up to their sin. You don't even give them a greeting. Most of Christianity does not believe that Jesus comes in the flesh. Therefore, has no right to be called Christianity. Christianity is Christ-like. He believed. He spoke in tongues, by the way. That's clearly evident in the New Testament. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. Oh, that all passed away. Well, then what hope do we have of being Christ-like if it passed away? No, it only passed away for the unbelievers. Unbelievers have no right to be ruling over churches. Don received this morning, Don Laughlin, John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. There you identify the believer, the real believer. And John also got the next day, 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Forget church if it's not church. Forget it. Go home and read your Bible, which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. That's what they did. They entered into the lion. And this is the promise which he promised us, even the life eternal. And Shay received Judges chapter 2. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Balaam. You know who the Balaam is? He's the sun god, right? You remember in the Catholic Church how they got the sun symbols everywhere? That was from their ancient times. I mean, that was the false son of God. And by the way, they passed it on to the harlots, because they were a mother of the harlots. So who are these denominations that came out of them? Harlots. They've got another Jesus, a false son of God. Even Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh had symbols of the sun. He was the sun god. His name means the sun god. He was a representation of the sun god on earth, and he was keeping God's people in bondage, just like these preachers are doing. Even their golden calf had that sun in between its, you know, over its head, you know. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, another Jesus, of the gods of the peoples that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. And he forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. That's the false mother goddess, right? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers. Well, has the so-called church been spoiled? Totally. Spoilers that despoiled them. These are the demons. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. This was God's people who had their idols, their false god. When you tell somebody this is what the word says, and they say, we don't believe this, well, then you have an idol. If you show them what the word says, and they say, well, my preacher says this, well, then you have an idol. Or my denomination says this, well, then you have an idol. You know, it's a false Jesus. There's only one Jesus. He's the Word made flesh. He's the Word. As the Lord had spoken, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were sore distressed. And the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those that despoiled them. Yep, how do you do that? Well, they have to repent, right? They have to repent. And Leon received this, Jeremiah 49 and 34 on down. And the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam. Okay, there's the faction. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. It's going to break the faction, just like the lion did that demon spirit of faction. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them towards those winds. Same thing he says about faction. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. And I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life. And I will bring evil upon them, even the fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence king and princes, says the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring back the captivity of Elam, says the Lord. In other words, he's going to deliver a people from among them to the Lord. They will return unto the Lord. I'll bring them out of captivity, right? These are all verses we've received in the last 2 days. And Shalanda got Zechariah 13 and 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. A fountain of the water of life, right? And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, these false prophets, right? For thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. and his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he prophesieth, neither shall they wear a hairy mantle to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a tiller of the ground, for I have been made a bondman from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds between thine arms? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Amen. Boy, you can see this in the life of David. You can see it in the life of Jesus. You can see it in the life of the prophets, that the enemy rose up against them who were considered by them to be their friends. Well, Father, thank you for this word today, Lord. And yes, we will pray and we will believe for your very best for your people. And Lord, we know that you're going to judge the Elamites and the Edomites, the factious, in other words, against their brethren. We know that you're going to judge North Korea and the severe faction that is in their midst, the hatred and the criticism that's in their midst. Lord, we pray that the people who have no say in the matter but are living under the tyrant will not be destroyed, Lord, but have time to learn to know you and the gospel. Lord, the gospel has gone in there. It's been persecuted by this regime. And Lord, we just ask you to set the people free from this man. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And set the people free from these Edomites. And set the people free in the political realm and in the spiritual realm. Lord, we're asking you this in the name of Jesus, that it be done. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today. God bless you. We'll post these dreams so you can look at them. And God bless you and keep you. Father, we ask you to go with our brethren and help them to be overcomers in all things. In the name of Jesus, amen.